I was a young 19-year-old punk, and I probably had 4.5 months of combat, you know, experience, so to speak. I get a call out on the radio, and they go, "Hey, Z, we got a new guy from Chi-Town in the unit. We're going to send him out to the field." I said, "Wait a minute." I says, "Ask him, Cubs, Sox." The radio guy goes, "Cubs, over." I went, "Forget it." I said, "I can't trust them. Don't send them out here."
They may have disagreed on Chicago baseball teams, but in October of 1970, in the middle of Vietnam, Jim Swit and Randy Kuziak agreed on one thing, the Chicago Bears.
I remember my dad years ago used to take me to Wrigley Field, okay? I remember Rick Caceres days. And then there was the Willie Gallimore days,
yep,
and then the Gale Sayers days.
I had lousy grades in school because every Sunday I would go work Wrigley for the Bears and then take the L to the Hawks game, you know, being up close. And you were right there, and you could hear Butkus, "I'm going to rip your head off." And I'm like, "Oh, my God." And then just all those guys. And it was pretty awesome and impressive. So that was a lot of our conversation.
More than 8,500 miles from home, these two soldiers rooted for the monsters of the Midway. It was a bond that held them together through the toughest times.
We were retrieving a body of a guy that was killed a couple days earlier. They told us there was 1 to 2 companies. There turned out to be 1,500 enemy waiting for us. We were 78 strong against 1,500, and we took a beating. We had 8 guys killed, 13 wounded. I was one of the wounded.
As I'm kind of crawling over to his logs, I see him jump to the front and run, and then I lose track of him for about 5 minutes. He was injured. We got him and pulled him over the log, and he was just blood all over.
I got hit at 6:50. That helicopter didn't pull me out till 10:30.
Rocket came and it saw and it hit the skid underneath the helicopter and it blew up in the trees behind me. And he was getting spooled up at that time and he had about another 25 or 30 feet left. The helicopter says, "Okay, time to go." Yeah. Okay, so they had him and the helicopter dips the front of the nose to get to build up speed. And as they did that, he's swinging like you're railing in a fish. And he's going through the trees, and that's the last time I see him until a year later when he's recovering over in Great Lakes.
Well, I got the after-action report for that night, and at 23:55 hours, which is at 5 minutes to 11, they had a thing in there. It says, "Specialist 4th James Witt was brought to the 85th VAC. Doctors do not believe he will live." All right, so, well, guess what? You know, I fooled them. I went through 20 months of hospitalization, 18 operations. All this while, you know, he was corresponding with me. I mean, he would be taking pictures of him flipping me off at the beach or doing this. It was a guy thing, you know. You have to understand, you know. Once he got home in October, you know, he came to visit me at Great Lakes. Our families got to be friends.
We stayed close together for many years.
Living in Chicago and raising families, Randy and Jim always found time to play golf together, go to Bears games, and even some White Sox games.
He would never come to a Cub game, all right? So forget that. He would, because Wrigley Field to him was, you know, it was like this, you know.
Jim also made sure that they stayed in touch with the other men of Delta Company, 2nd Battalion, 501st Infantry, 101st Airborne Division, something that Randy is very proud of.
He has visited the families of all these people that had lost their sons. He's tracked them down and visited them. And to me, that is sort of like the Stephen Ambrose of history. You know, I got to give him kudos for the amount of history that he has pulled out about this platoon.
It took me 40 years to find all of these 8 families. April 15th, 2011, I went to the wall on the 40th anniversary to pray, cry, laugh. And all of our names are on panel 4W, but they're towards the bottom of the panel. This woman walks over and starts looking for names, and when she knelt down and started looking for names at the bottom, I just had a feeling. So I tapped her on her shoulder. I said, "Ma'am," I says, "can I help you find a name?" She said, "I'm looking for William Ward." Oh, my God. I put my arm around her, and she was kneeling at the time. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "we've been looking for your family for 40 years. She wept. And the other two guys,
101st Airborne, tough guys, you know. I told them, you ain't gonna believe this. When I told them, they start crying, I'm crying, she's crying. Oh, that's, we're really tough, aren't we?
Yes, they are. Those men, especially Jim and Randy, share an unbreakable bond.
He's never brought it up. I mean, we talk about it, but, you know, not once in his life has he said to me, hey, the only reason you're alive is because of me, which I would have probably did to him, but he didn't do it to me. But I've never forgotten that.
Jim's never forgotten it and never been able to repay his friend for saving his life that night in the Vietnamese jungle. But he decided to try with a letter to the Chicago Bears.
Randy never talks about what he did for me that night, but all of us that were there know what he did. I believe that a trip to the Super Bowl would be something that he would truly enjoy at this time, and it would be another way for me to say thank you once again.
We received 1,000 submissions. I think with Jim and Randy, what really spoke to us, the fact that Jim spoke from his heart in his nomination, and their enduring bond and their friendship that has lasted almost 50 years now.
I was driving eastbound on I-88 at Naperville Road. and I get the call, and I'm like, to be honest, I think he said this is Brendan from the Bears ticket office. And I wasn't even thinking about the letter. I was thinking they wanted the ticket down payment for the next year. I was like, son of a... I was like... But then when he goes, you know, we got your letter. And I'm like, oh, God. And then everything changed for me. And I got off the expressway when I got near home. I went to the gas station, bought a Powerball ticket. It was like $480 million. And I didn't win.
But he had won tickets to Super Bowl 52. Meanwhile, in Florida, Randy was a little harder to get a hold of. He ignored the first few calls from the Illinois number, thinking it was a telemarketer.
He calls me up next and he says, have you gotten any phone calls from... I says, well, yeah, I have. He says, well, you stay by that phone because you're going to get another call. Then it's Brendan on the phone. I said, Brendan, says, are you Mr. Kusiak? Yeah. He says, well, congratulations, Mr. Kusiak. He says, because you and Mr. Swit are going to the Super Bowl on the Chicago Bears. And I couldn't believe it. The only time I won something, I think I remember, was like 1962. I was a kid. I won a set of accordion lessons. That's about the only thing. And I says, but I'm going there. I says, I'm going to represent the Chicago Bears the best way I can.
Hey, we're having a good time here.
Hey, boys, on the field. Super Bowl 52.
What the Bears did for us, I will tell you, and he will tell you, you have no idea how I cried. Damn Brendan, I was driving on 88 and I started crying. I couldn't even see. It just made us proud of our service and that the Bears are recognizing us for the sacrifices we made long ago and took my letter and understood what it meant to the both of us, our friendship, the sacrifice we made, and being appreciated.
I second that motion.
Oh, I mean,
most definitely.